Let's turn to the New Testament book of the book of Ephesians, one of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians in the New Testament. You say, Mike, I don't know quite where that's at. If you find the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just going to read three quick little verses. And I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These three verses. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as with all your word, it will not come back to us void. It will not come back to you void. You will send it out. It will serve its purpose. It will not come back to you void. We pray, Lord, that this morning, that your word that we read here in this great Bible that we have, that it will penetrate our hearts. It will change us from the inside out. And it will serve its purpose to each and every one of us, to that which needs to be changed in each one of us here for today. To you be the glory. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today I'm going to begin a new sermon series that I have titled The American Christian. I gave this series that title because I want us to look at the present condition of America and the responsibility of the Christian within this American society that we live in. In this series, we're going to look at a lot of different issues that our nation is encountering. And I'm going to look at it from a very practical standpoint, but with, as always, biblical support. I am not a prophet in the sense that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt where the American future is headed and where it is going. But I see many signs, and I do believe that I have somewhat of a clue. And I believe that you have somewhat of a clue also. And my intentions in this series are certainly not to scare anyone into believing that we all have a future of hopelessness. As long as we serve a risen Savior and a loving God, there is always hope. Amen? There is. If you are like me, you love your country. I love the United States of America. There is no other place in this world that I would rather live. But yes, there are plenty of things that I do not like about it. Probably the same things that you don't like about it. However, there are still some things that I do love about it. So let's see where we are at in America and where we need to be as Christians in this American society. Let's turn back the hands of time. It was June of 1970. I was in the summer of going from a junior in high school to a senior in high school. I had just got my driver's license a few months earlier. I had my first dating relationship, which was a total failure. Praise God, it was a total failure. But in June of 1970, there was a song written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong that had reached number 3 on the Billboard charts. It was a song performed by a group called The Temptations. You may have heard of them. The name of the song was Ball of Confusion. Here's the words from that song of 46 years ago. People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of their skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love thy brother is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation, ball of confusion. Oh yeah, that's what the world is today. The sale of pills are at an all-time high. Young folks walking around with their heads in the sky. The city's ablaze in the summertime. And oh, the beat goes on. Evolution, revolution. Gun control, the sound of soul. Shooting rockets to the moon. And kids growing up too soon. And politicians say more taxes will solve everything. And the band played on. So round and round and round we go, and where the world's headed, nobody knows. There's fear in the air, tension everywhere. Unemployment rising fast, the Beatles' new records of gas. And the only safe place to live is on an Indian reservation. And the band played on. The eve of destruction, tax deduction, city inspectors, bill collectors, mod clothes are in demand. The population's out of hand. Suicide, too many bills. Hippies moving to the hills. People all over the world are shouting, end the war. And the band played on. That was the American world 46 years ago. Not much has changed. So here's my list for today. Take what you just heard and let me add these interesting facts. Our moral standards are in the toilet. Abortions are at a rate of about 1 million per year. There is serious corruption in our government. Racial unrest is on the rise. Islamic presence and influence has increased. Television programming is pathetic, with reality shows being anything but reality. Many people need jobs, but most of those many people do not want to work, as long as welfare is giving them a free ride. We must be politically correct. Tolerance is preached by those who are the most intolerant. People are offended by anything that doesn't suit them. Cops are the bad guys, and the thugs are martyrs. Men are changing into women, and women are changing into men. Illegal aliens are no longer illegal. It's no longer about what we are, but about how we want to identify ourselves. We no longer believe that our evil actions have any consequences. A new generation is coming up that has no clue what real work is all about. Certain groups want to take away our right to bear arms because guns are the problem. We must be careful what public restroom we use because we have no clue who might be in there. Creation is out and evolution is in. Mass shootings of innocent people in public places has become commonplace. The media tells you exactly what they want you to know. And there's many more, but I'll leave you with one last one. There is an absence of integrity in Washington, D.C. And it starts at the very top. In June of 1970, it wasn't very pretty, as the song lyrics say that I read before. And today, July 24th, 2016, it has become even uglier. So to start off our quest to find answers, let's first look at what is the root of this problem. And it's not difficult to understand what the root of the problem is. The root problem of the problems in America and around the world is a three-letter word, and the letter I is in the middle. S-I-N. We have a sin problem. That's the root problem. I found a list of human characteristics that sin causes and makes us become. And I'm going to read that to you. This list is in alphabetical order. Sin has made us abominable, blasphemous, boastful, deceitful, destructive, disobedient, envious, foolish, greedy, hard-hearted, headstrong, haughty, hypocritical, lying, murderous, obstinate, prayerless, perverse, proud, rebellious, reprobate, scheming, selfish, stiff-necked, stubborn, unjust, unmerciful, unholy, unthankful, unwise, and worthless. Yes, folks, that is the human race. That is our human condition. We wonder why there's problems in America, because that's what people are, unsaved people. All those adjectives that I read to you, there's scripture verses to back each and every one of them up, of those descriptive adjectives of our human character. Romans 3, chapter 10, says this, and I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read verse 10. Actually, I'm going to read through verse 18, and it's rather quick. It says this, as it is written, another description of the human condition. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands or one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves and their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips and their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace, they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Another great description of the human condition. Romans 3:23 says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, says that the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is beyond cure. Who can understand it? That is the human condition. And that is the condition of America. I think we're just seeing that being amplified. But what about us Christians? As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he gives a whole laundry list of sins of the Corinthian church. But then he says this, and this is us. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. We have been washed clean. of our sin. But that does not mean that we have become perfect. Maybe some of those sins that I read earlier, we still fall into those traps. The wonderful God that we serve, who rules this universe, has given human beings four levels of restraint to help us identify a sin problem. And he has also given us four weapons to combat the desire to sin. And if we did not see these four levels of restraint in place on this earth, I guarantee we would have self-destructed as humanity shortly after the creation. So let's go over those four levels of restraint, and they're listed there in your bulletin. I have given you the first letter of each one. There's four levels, and each level has a weapon that the Lord has also provided for that. The first level of restraint is at the personal level. That would be the letter P. At the personal level, we have a level of restraint at the personal level. Jeremiah 31:33 says this, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and in their hearts and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." So what is that first restraint? Every human being, saved, unsaved, has the law of God written on their minds and in their hearts. We all know right from wrong. And this truth is repeated in Romans chapter 2, which is on the front of your bulletin. If you look at the scripture verse that I have written there, Romans 2, verses 14 and 15, kind of repeat that exact same thing that Jeremiah says. That we have this thing called that the law of God is written in our minds and on our hearts. So what is the weapon that God has provided for us to combat the sin, to help this restraint, help us restrain from the temptation and from the sin? Begins with the letter C. It is our conscience. We have a conscience. You say, how do you spell conscience? C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Con, science, conscience. Conscience. What does our conscience do? Well, according to Romans chapter 2, it either accuses us or it excuses us. It either excuses us. You remember the cartoons with the good angel and the bad angel. Remember the angel on one side, the devil on the other side. And one's saying, do this, do this, do this, and do the bad things. And the good side saying, no, you don't want to do that. That is our conscience talking to us. It's telling us, no, stop, don't do it before you get into trouble. So it's either going to accuse us, don't do it, don't do it. I told you, Phyllis, don't do it. Or it's going to say, yes, Phyllis, you are right in doing this. You can do this one way or the other. If we stopped sinning when this line of defense, this first line of defense, flagged us, perhaps America would be a better place. We have a second line of defense. Your bulletins, it begins with the letter F, and this one is at the family level. Second restraint is at the family level. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Instead, key verse, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So what is that second restraint? It's parental influence as mothers and fathers. I guarantee the family unit works best when we do things God's way. So what is God's way of a family unit? Now this is God's way. This is the ideal way. That is, the family unit is to have a mother and a father. Two people who are in a married relationship and a loving relationship at that. A mother and father who train their children in the way that they should go. That is the ideal God's way of a family. So how important is a God-designed home and family? Just one stat that I got from the website MarriageSecretsSuccess.com says this, that 70% of long-term prison inmates grew up in broken homes. So what is the weapon that God has provided to combat sin in the family environment? Begins with the letter R. It's three letters, and it's something like this. The rod. The rod. Now, I'm kind of maybe going overboard here. The rod. What will the rod do? Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. And Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. That's God's word, not Mike's word. They will not die. I don't know how many times Gail and I, we didn't use a rod. Our rod was the fly swatter, okay? Not that we used it on each other. We used it on our kids. When our kids misbehaved, all Gail had to say, or I had to say, was, I'm going to get the fly swatter. And if they continued, they got the fly swatter. Discipline. What would happen if we stopped sinning when this second line of restraint flagged us? When, oh, maybe our parents are right. Maybe I should behave. Perhaps America would be a better place. There's a third level of restraint. This one begins with the letter G, and it is at the government level. Government level. Romans 13:5 says this, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So what is the third restraint? We have government laws, don't we? We have government laws everywhere. And this could be at every level of government. They could be as simple as their speed limit signs out on the highways. But as we are commanded, yes, we are commanded in God's word to obey our governing laws. It also says in there to pay our taxes. If you want to know everything that God's word says about that, read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, which gives us clear guidelines and commands on human government and our response to that government. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But what is the weapon that God has provided to this level of government to combat sin? In Romans chapter 13, verse 5, it is this. It is the sword. What will the sword do? Romans 13:5 says this. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. What would happen if we stopped sinning and disobeying this third line of restraint when it flagged us when we were doing wrong? Maybe America might be a better place. And we have a fourth and final level of restraint. And this one begins with the letter C. And we are all sitting in one right now. It is the church. A fourth level of restraint. The church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says this, live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So the fourth length of restraint is the church. And we, as Christians, are supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We need to pour a little salt on this earth. Christians need to give this rotten world out there some flavor. Amen? We do. We do. We do. So what is the weapon that God has provided for us at this level to combat sin? It begins with the letter G. And it is what Jesus was preaching all the time. The gospel. It's the gospel message. Romans 1 verse 16 tells us this, that the gospel has the power of salvation to all who believe. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 17, one that I use all the time, says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We are new creations in Christ. Does that mean that we stop sinning? No, absolutely not. But I believe these levels of restraint help tremendously in this world. What would happen if we stopped sinning when our fourth line of restraint flagged us and said, don't do that? Perhaps America would be a better place. So, we have four levels of restraint that have been put into place all by God, and they are all there to keep us from sinning. And when we refrain from sinning, which is the root cause of all the problems in America and in the world, then maybe America becomes a better place. So, what are those four levels of restraint? The personal level, we have a conscience. The family level, we have the rod. The third level, the government level, they have the sword. And the fourth level, that's us, the church. We have the gospel. We can be proactive and go out there into this dark world and spread the good news to other people. We have all four of these levels, yet America, we're in the mess that we're in. Let's pray that it starts getting better. And let's pray that it starts with us. I don't know how long this sermon series is going to go, but we'll just keep on going till it ends. Next week, we're going to look at each one of these four levels a little bit closer, take a look at some statistics, and we're going to take a little peek at God's response in how we're doing at these things. Let's go to God in prayer.